Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Tes Vav. We left off on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom of the page at Tashema. Last words on the line. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the Daf each and every day. Today we're going to discuss one topic, and that is the topic that we discussed most of yesterday's Daf, and that is the issue Im Asu Beis Shammai Kedivreihem O Lo, that we know that we have this fundamental machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, where Beis Hillel held that Saras Erva is going to be Mutul L'Shuk, she's Pater from Yibum entirely, from Yibum Chalitza entirely, whereas Beis Shammai holds, no, the Erva is Pater from Yibum Chalitza, but it's Saras Erva, still has to do Yibum Chalitza. So the question became, whether Beis Shammai in fact followed their own opinions or not. So the Gemara was bringing many rayas, so we're going to have like 9 more rayas in today's daf, whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. We already raised the issue, when was this machlokas about whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, before the Baskol came out that said we pass on the Beis Hillel, after the Baskol came out and said we pass on the Beis Hillel. But either way, that is the topic of today's daf. So let's begin Tashma Yudalad and Beis, about 5 lines from the end of the page. Tashma Adam Rabbi Yochman Nuri, Hey Halacha Zu Revachas Bi Yisrael. How could it be that this halacha of Tzaros Arayos, how can we be koveya that it's not going to be a michshol according to somebody, meaning no matter how you turn on this shayla, it seems that it's going to be a michshol according to somebody. Because Nasa Kedivrei B'Shammai, what are you going to do? You're going to follow B'Shammai, and then in the case of a Tzaros Ha'erva, you're going to allow them to do Yibum? Havlan Mamzul Kedivrei B'Shammai. If that produces a child, according to Beis Hillel, that's an Isser Kares, and therefore the child of such a union is going to be a Mamzer. So what do you want to do? Nasa Kedivrei Beis Hillel, you want to follow the Shita of the Beis Hillel and say that the Tzaras Erva does not require Yibum, does not require Chalitza, she's Muteres L'Shuk, so she's going to go and get remarried to some other person. Havlad Pagum L'Divrei Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai is going to say that child is Pagum L'Kahuna, because that's an Isser Lav, that's a marriage that you're not allowed to have. So if the father is a Kohen, the Vlad is going to be a Kohen Chalal. If the father is a Yisrael, any daughter that's a result of that marriage is going to be a Chalala and is going to be Asura to marry a Kohen. Because according to them, she's Asura L'Shuk, it's an Israelav, we'll see a Ishas Hameis, Hachutza L'Ishzar, and anyone that's born from such an Israelav, even though it's not a Mamzer and is Mutzalav Bakal, they can marry a Jewish person, but nevertheless, the Mischala L'Kuhuna, based on a Kal V'Chomer from an Almana L'Kohen Gadol. We're going to elaborate in this Kal V'Chomer later in the Daf, that if an Almana, where the Isser is only to a Kohen Gadol, so it's a very limited Isser, and nevertheless when an Almana marries a Kohen Gadol, the child is Mischala L'Kuhuna, so a woman who's Asser by Chayav Elavin to everybody, where it's an Isser L'Kol, all the more so the child is going to be Mischala L'Kuhuna. So Rabbi Yochman Nuri says, we're faced with a problem because of this Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We can't follow anybody. We follow Beis Hillel, we're going to end up with children who are pogum l'divrei Beis Shammai, we follow Beis Shammai, we're going to end up with children who are mamzerim l'divrei Beis Hillel. So therefore, Rabbi Yochman Nuri says, I have a solution. Bov nesakin on the tzaros, we should be misakin that the tzaros erva should do the following: shu cholzos velo misyavdos. Let them do chalitza and not yibum. What's the worst that's going to happen? According to Beis Hillel, they're mutar l'shuk without a chalitza. You lose nothing by doing a chalitza. Let them do a chalitza, and that way it will satisfy the sheet of the Beis Shammai. But don't let them do a yibum, because that would be very bad according to the sheet of Beis Hillel. So let them do chalitza and not do yibum, and then you'll be yotzei kol adeus. Lo hispiku ligmar sadavar. They wanted to be machria like Rabbi Yochman Nuri, but it didn't happen. Something came up and they were unable to take a vote on the matter and to follow the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. So the Gemara seems to be indicating, like Min HaShamayim, it turned out that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's opinion was not the one that was followed. So Amalo Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, Ma nasalem letzaros harishonos me'ata? What would we do to the children of those earlier tzaros of Beis Shammai that already had the Yibum? Meaning, if you want to say that the tzaros that are Asr B'Yibum, and you're going to say that all that would get Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel all on the same page, that we're not going to allow Tzaros Erva to do Yibum, we're going to be doing something not so nice. to previous tzaros that followed Shitas Beis Shammai and did Yibum. What are we telling them? We're telling them that we're choshish that your children are mamzerim? Meaning, how could we do that? So, yeah, Rabbi Shlomo Asu Haina Tkomer Manasa, that Taina only resonates if Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion previously. So now you're going to have this issue of what do you do with all the people that have already followed the Shita of the Beis Shammai and have allowed the Tzaros Erva to do Yibum. Eliyam Lo Asu, but if Beis Shammai didn't even follow their own opinion ever before, so no one ever, they never had Yibum with Tzaros Arayos. So my Manasseh, so the one exactly is he bothered with Manasseh. What are we going to do with those people that already did Yibum? There are no people that already did Yibum because Beis Shammai was never Asu Kedivrayim. So isn't this a raya that Beis Shammai in fact was Asu Kedivrayim? Says the Gemara, no, not a raya at all. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, really Beis Shammai was not Asu Kedivrayim. And when Rav Shmuel Gamliel says Manasseh, he's referring to the Bnei Hatzaros, he's not referring to the Bnei Hatzaros that were already in the Siavim. Lo Nitzcha L'Tzara Atzma, he was Choshish for the Tzara herself. Manasseh Hachi Kamer, what he means to say when he says, what are we going to do with these Tzaros? Hanuch Tzaros de Beis Hillel, these Tzaros that did like the Shita of the Beis Hillel, and they already got married to somebody else, they already went and assumed that they don't require Yibum or Chalitza. So now what are we going to do with them? Le Beis Shammai, if you're now introducing legislation that we have to be Choshesh for Shita's Beis Shammai, what about all those people all along that have been following the Shita of the Beis Hillel? There's no Safek that the Beis Hillel definitely were Asu Kedivrayhem, that the Beis Hillel was certainly following their opinion, so they were being matched to these women Lashuk. So what are you going to do to them according to if you're trying to satisfy the Shita of the Beis Shammai? Heichad Navalu, what are you going to do with these women that have already gotten remarried? Lechitzu, you're going to tell me after they've already gotten remarried to somebody else, now they should go back to the Yavam and do Chalitza? Mimasi Agavrayu, that's going to be very distasteful to their husbands. Their husbands are going to say, well, what is wrong with the woman that I married that she needs Chalitza now after I've married her? That's going to be very hard to get over. V'chitema limasan, and maybe you're going to say, yeah, then life is not always pleasant, and sometimes you're going to have to go through such a struggle in the marriage where the husband is thinking that he married a woman who was surah to him, because that's what we got to do in order to satisfy the Shita of the Beis Shammai. No, it can't be. The ways of the Torah are pleasant. We cannot be koveya ahalacha that's going to cause a woman to be nimas al baila. That it's not possible that we could be koveya such halacha. Generally speaking, when we apply the principle, it means that we're not going to take someone who did nothing wrong bishaito at the time that they were acting, they did nothing wrong, and then retroactively turn it into a problem. That is a violation of Dracha Darchinom. Here, this woman was following the Shita of the Beis Hillel. She asked her rabbi. She did exactly what the rabbi said. She went and she got remarried. And now, because we want to satisfy the Shita of the Beis Shammai, we're going to make her life a misery. So that's against Dracha Darchinom. The Ritva points out that even it's not so ma'us ad kidekach that it would be doche the issue of Amal Shuk. It's enough in order to not be Masakin Chalitza, in order to be Yotze the Shita of Beis Shammai. I mean, if there was really an Isser of Yivam Lashuk, we wouldn't worry so much about Recha Darchinom. But the Shita of Beis Shammai that we're trying to satisfy. So we're not going to go against Recha Darchinom just to satisfy a Shita of the Beis Shammai. So that is why that Raya doesn't work out. So now says Gemara, Tashma, let's go bring another Raya that Beis Shammai was Asu Kedivrayhem. Dam Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon said once, Te'evni Masai Tavot Tsaras Abbas Liyadi Ve'esa'ena. The Gemara assumes what he means by this is that his daughter was married to his brother, and there was another tzara. The brother was married to not only Rabbi Tarfon's daughter, but also to another woman as well. And Rabbi Tarfon was yearning that tzara's bito should have a yibum situation with him, and it'll be miyabim her in order to be mekayim the shita of the Beis Shammai, because he was a talmud of the shita of the Beis Shammai. So he was saying, you know, if I ever have that situation in my life, I'm going to follow the sheet of my Rebbeim, and it's going to be a big scandal, and everyone's going to say, how could he do this? But that's the sheet of the Beis Shammai. I'm going to do Yibum on the Tzara of my Arayos. So this seems to be a Raya, that Beis Shammai, the Talmid of Beis Shammai, were Asu Kedivrayim. So it says, no, he doesn't mean Ve'esa'ena, Ema va'asi ena. He's saying that I will allow her to marry Lashuk without Chalitza, meaning I'm going to make a demonstration that we follow the Shita of the Beis Hillel, and that we are Matir Lashuk if such a thing comes about. So says Gemara, va'ta'evnika amar. But Rabbi Tarfon sounds like he was yearning for this, that this is something that he wanted to do. If he was a Talmud of the Beis Shammai, why would he be yearning to follow the Shita of the Beis Hillel? What would even be the Chiddush in following the Shita of the Beis Hillel? Everybody follows the Shita of the Beis Hillel. So says Gemara, no, he wanted a pot of the Tzar of Michalitza la'afukim mit Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. He wanted to make a demonstration that we don't follow Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. We don't work on satisfying all the opinions of the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. We follow the Beis Hillel. The Baskel came out, and that's what we do. Whether it's because they're the Rov prior to the Baskel, or whether it's because of the Baskel, we follow the Beis Hillel. That's what we do. We don't have to try to satisfy the Shita of Rabbi Yochum and Nuri. I don't think Ta'avet Te'evni means that I really hope to have a Yibum situation. Every Yibum situation is the most unfortunate thing in the world, right? Meaning it's a man that died without any children. So, and in this case, what Rabbi Tarfon is saying, if only I could knock my brother off, if only I can kill my brother so that I could marry his wife. I don't think he's trying to say that. I think what he's trying to say is that I would like to be able to be koveya this halacha, and people should know how serious we are about following the Shita of the Beis Hillel. So now the Gemara tries to bring another raya that Beis Shammai was asu kedivrayim. So Tashima, Maisa bebitul Shem Gamliel, Shaisin Nesua la Abba Achiv, that the Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was married to Rabbi Gamliel's brother Abba, umeis below banim, and Abba died without any children. The Yibim Rabbi Gamliel as Tsarasa, and Rabbi Gamliel himself did Yibum on the Tsaras Erva, on the Tsara of his daughter. So you see that Beis Shammai followed their Shitas. Rabbi Gamliel followed the Shita of the Beis Shammai. So says Mar Vitizbra, you want to tell me Rabbi Gamliel followed the Shita of the Beis Shammai? Even if Beis Shammai were asu kidivrehem, Rabbi Gamliel mi talmidim Beis Shammaiu. Why, you think Rabbi Gamliel was from the talmidim of the Beis Shammai that he's going to follow the Shita of the Beis Shammai? Not true. He was the talmid of the Beis Hillel. Ella shiny bitul Rabbi Gamliel da eilinus havai. No, you know why Rabbi Gamliel married the tzara of his daughter? Because his daughter was an eilinus, and therefore she doesn't pater her tzara. That we learned back in the first mission of the Masechta, that all the arayos that we mentioned, all the tesvav arayos, if nimtzu u'aylinis, then tzarosehin mutaros. So Rav Gamliel's daughter was in fact married to Rav Gamliel's brother, but it turned out that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an aylinis, and therefore the other wives of Rav Gamliel's brother were actually facing a yibum situation, and that's what we're saying, that Rav Gamliel did yibum because the daughter was an aylinis. Fraktik mara hamidu k'tani seifa, acher mar bitos Rav Gamliel aylinis haisa, mechal tan kamasav v'lav aylinis haisa. But if you read Vaiter, the seifa says that others say that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an aylinis, which makes it sound like the standard Shita, the Shita of the Tanna Kamma, was that Rav Gamliel's daughter was not an islandess, and he still did Yibum on her Tzara. So the Gemara has three ways of resolving this issue. That first, that even according to the Tanna Kamma, the daughter of Rav Gamliel was in fact an islandess, and that's why Rav Gamliel is allowed to do Yibum on the Tzara. So in what way is the Tanna Kamma disagreeing with Acherim? They're disagreeing with under what circumstances we apply the heter of Tzaras Bito Ha'ailinus. Under what circumstances do we say that if the daughter is an islandess, that her tzaros are now mutar b'yibum? Hikir b'avalo, hikir b'ikir b'nayu. This should sound familiar. The question is, do we assume that an islandess is that the tzara of an islandess is going to be mutter of an erva who's an islandess is going to be mutter even when the brother knew she was an islandess, so the marriage was a valid marriage, or is it only when the brother didn't realize she was an islandess, so the whole marriage was bitaus, and therefore Rav Gamliel's daughter was never really married to the brother? So then it's obvious that you're going to do yibum on the other wives. So that's the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Acherim. Do we even say kishahi when Rav Gamliel's brother was fully aware that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, and he married her, and therefore it's a real kiddushin? Even in such cases, we're going to say that the tzara is not going to have to do that. That the tzara will face a yibum situation. So that's the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Acherim. The iba yaseima, or it could be another way of explaining the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Acherim, is that really the Tanna Kamma held that Rav Gamliel's daughter was not an islandess, but there's another reason that Rav Gamliel was allowed to marry her tzara, and that's because the brother, Rav Gamliel's brother, had divorced Rav Gamliel's daughter before he had died. So at the time that he had died, the tzara was no fault. nafelas liibum, but she was no longer a tsaras erva, because the erva was no longer married to the brother. At the shas nafila, he had already divorced Rav Gamliel's daughter, and that's why she was sutra liibum, and that's the reason Acherim didn't like this heter, and they had to say, no, the case must have been that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, is because before the brother married the tsara, because he had previously married the tsara, he only divorced the daughter after marrying the tsara. And remember, we had that discussion. There was a machlokas, do we apply the heter of Tsaras Erva if this woman was a Tsaras Erva, but at the time that her husband died, she was no longer a Tsaras Erva. So certainly, if this woman didn't marry the brother until after, she didn't even marry the brother until after the brother divorced Rav Gamliel's daughter, certainly in that case, she's not a Tsaras Erva, Rav Gamliel will be allowed to do Yibum. But we already had a machlokas, what if Rav Gamliel's daughter marries Rav Gamliel's brother, then Rav Gamliel's brother marries somebody else, and then Rav Gamliel's brother divorces Rav Gamliel's daughter, and then Rav Gamliel's brother dies. So that was a machlokas, whether that's considered a tsaras erva or not. And that's the machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Acherim. Or a third possibility, V'iba Yasema, a third way of understanding this machlokas between the Tanna Kamma and Acherim, as far as why Rav Gamliel was allowed to do Yibum on Tsaras Bito, and really the Tanna Kamma does not hold that Rav Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, but we're talking about a case where Abba, Rav Gamliel's brother, married Rav Gamliel's daughter on a Tanai. He was Mekadish or Almanas, that she doesn't have any mum, she doesn't have any Nidarim that she's taken, and then after he married her, and she had Bia with him, it was Igloy Milsa that the Tanai was not fulfilled, that she in fact had a mum, that she in fact had been a Nadranis, had taken Nidarim, which are assumed to ruin a marriage, because Bavon Nidarim, the Gemara says, Banim Mesim Kshem Ketanim, terrible things happen when people take Nidarim. Normally, the only grounds for divorce without a Ksuba is if the woman had done something to ruin a marriage. A lot of times people are imperfect and they do averus, but not every avera that a person does, even if it's an avera midah raisa, is something that would cause her to lose a ksuba. If it doesn't have any impact on the marriage, it's just her own personal thing. But if it's something that impacts a marriage, she keeps feeding him non-kosher food. That impacts the marriage, right? That's how do you live with someone who keeps feeding you non-kosher food? She doesn't go to the mikveh, something like that. So if she's a nadranis, she takes nadarim, we assume that that impacts a marriage because it's going to ruin the whole family life, because bavon nadarim mishto banim esim k'shem k'tanim. So the case was that Ramuliel's daughter was found to have this mum or to be an adranis, and he had made a tanai when he married her that the kedushin shouldn't even be toface, that they shouldn't have a marriage if they find these things. And yesh tanai bebia ikabinah. So the machlokes tana kam and acherim is, was Rav Gamliel's daughter in fact married to Rav Gamliel's brother? On the one hand, the tanai was not fulfilled, and therefore they should not be married. He only married her al tanai that she's not a nadranis, that she's not a balas mum, and it turned out that it's a mekach tos, so the whole nisun should be batel. So she was never his wife, and therefore, of course, Rav Gamliel should do yibum on the other wives. The other wives were actually married to his brother, so it's not a tsaras erva at all. Whereas acherim hold that a tanai is not going to help in the case where they already had bia. If he was already boel her, we have to be told that in mistami he was mochel the tanai, and therefore he was perfectly fine being married to her, and therefore the marriage is in place. Because if you're going to be mevatel the nisuin, it would turn out that the bia was a bias nus, and the ina demoso bilaso bias nus. A person is not happy to make his bia into a bias nus. So therefore, the tzara is a tzaras erva, and the only way to say why Rav Gamliel would be allowed to marry the tzara is if his daughter was an islandess, and that's why Acherim suggests that the daughter was an islandess. Okay, but all that was within that one raya, whether Beishamay or Rasu Kedivrayim. Now we move on to the next raya. So Masav Misharshi raised the following challenge. According to those shitos that hold that lo asu bishamay kedivrayim, there is a mishnah in Maseches Rosh Hashanah about when the Rosh Hashanah the ilanos is. Beishamay holds echad bishvat, Beisilu holds chamisha asubo. Two bishvat is the Rosh Hashanah the ilanos. One of the chilukim as far as when the Rosh Hashanah the ilanos is as far as meiser peros is concerned, because in the first and second and fourth and fifth years of a shmita cycle, level, you take Maaser Sheni. After you take Truma and you take and give that to a Kohen, and Maaser Rishon and give that to a Levi, you take Maaser Sheni, you bring it to Yerushalayim, you eat it there. However, in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, instead of Maaser Sheni, you give Maaser Ani. You take 10% and you give it to the poor. So the number, what number year you're up to, is totally in this machlokas. According to Beis Shammai, any peiros that have a chanata after Echad Bishvat of the third year is a third year pre, and therefore is subject to Maaser Ani. Whereas according to Beis Hillel, no, chanata happened after Echad Bishvat, but before two Bishvat of the third year, it's still a second year pre, and therefore it's a Maaser Sheni pre. It's going to be Chayiv in Maaser Sheni, not in Maaser Ani. So the Mishnah says over there in Rosh Hashanah, Maaser Rabbi Akiva Shalikate Asrog Be'echad Bishvat, Rabbi Akiva was Malakate Nesrog on the first day of Shvat of the third year, Vinahagbo Shnei Isurin, and he was Mafresh two Isurin, Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani, Echad Kedev Rabbi Shammai, Ve'echad Kedev Rabbi Hillel, to satisfy both opinions, both that of the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel. So he was Yotze both of them by being Mafresh Maaser Sheni, being Mechaler on money, and bringing it to Yerushalayim, and buying food with it in Yerushalayim, and eating it because it was Maaser Sheni. And the peros of Maaser Sheni that he was Mechalel, he gave to Aniyim as if it's Maaser Ani. So he double dipped in order to satisfy all opinions. So from the fact that Rabbi Kiva tried to be Machmet to follow the sheet of the Beis Shammai, Shema Mina Asu, must be that the Beis Shammai at least were Asu Kedivrayim. Otherwise, if Beis Shammai themselves were not Asu Kedivrayim, why would Rabbi Akiva be machmir to try to satisfy the Beis Shammai? So says my Rabbi Akiva, Gamrei is topically. No, Rabbi Akiva wasn't trying to satisfy Shita Beis Shammai. He wasn't sure which one was the Shita of the Beis Shammai. V'lo yada ibisil be'echad b'shvadam or ibisil b'chamisha. He wasn't sure which one Beis Hillel held was actually the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. So because he was uncertain about that, he tried to satisfy both possibilities of what the Beis Hillel held, but he was not trying to satisfy the Shita of the Beis Shammai. Tori Evan raises the question, why did Rabbi Akiva have to give the peiros to Aniyim, that all he should have had to do is be Kori Shem Maaser Ani? Because once you're Kori Shem Maaser Ani, you did your mitzvahs hafrasha. Giving it to the Aniyim is a dinim amanus issue. So why can't he tell the Aniyim, look, you want this? Then prove to me that that it's in fact a Maaser Ani year. Where they can't prove it because it's a machlokas. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Safik mamon lekula. Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. So even though it's not a safik mitzias, it's a safik in din, whether Echad B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan or Chamisha Asur B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. But we learn there's a Mishnah Maseches Becharos that according to Rabbi Akiva, even a safek in din we say Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So why was it necessary for him to actually give it to Aniyim? So Tori Evan suggests, based on what the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, that the din of safek matnas Aniyim is not like a regular din of safek mamon. You need to be machmir and give to the Aniyim misafek, because even though the Baal HaBayis is one that's mufsak, because the pasuk says Ani Varashat Stiku, and Ani Varashat Stiku tells me that that you always have to go above and beyond when it comes to an Ani Varash, when it comes to a poor person, when it comes to someone who's needy. So we always we ignore the normal rules of Dine Mamanus, and you're always more generous in your Dine Mamanus with an Ani Varash. So the maskan of the Gemara there is that that's only by peros that have a cheskas chiyuv, that it's a huchsak lanu that the chiyuv. That there was chiyuv on these peros to give them to Aniyim, but then there was a suffix whether there was some sort of patur that kicked in. But peros that are not becheskas chiyuv, where the whole suffix is whether there's whether a chiyuv was chal meyikara, so then it would have a dinner of a regular suffix of mammon. And based on that, Rav Yevon says, so then why in our case did Rabbi Akiva give it to the Aniyim? Over here, there was no cheskas chiyuv. It's a regular suffix whether there ever is a cheskas chiyuv in the first place. We don't know if it's third year produce at all. So he suggests that it's in fact, Machlok is Bavli and Yerushalmi, that it's only according to the Bavli that we don't say the din of Tzadek Miyushalcha V'teinlo of Ani Rosh Hatzdiku unless there's a Cheskas Chiyuv. The Bavli will explain that when it says Rabbi Akiva did Shnei Isurim, it means he was Mafra Shnei Maestros, but in Enochinami, it never says in our Gemara that he gave the Maestro Ani to the Aniyim. It just says he was Noeg Shnei Isurim. It's only Yerushalmi that says that he actually gave the Maestro Ani to Aniyim. That's Yerushalmi L'Shitas. So that Ani Rosh Hatzdiku is going to apply even when there's a suffix, whether even when the suffix is when there's no Cheskas Chiyuv and there's a suffix. So it turns out, says the Turi Avin very brilliantly, that it's Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi. Now the Gemara says another Raya on a Kasha on the Shita that Lo Asu Kedivrayim, a Raya that in fact Beishamai were Asu Kedivrayim. Masav Rav Zutra. So now we're traveling all over Shas over here bringing these Rayas. So here's a Raya from Maseches Sukkah. You have a Katan Uzeinu Tzarech Li'ima, a child who's not chayiv in who is chayiv in Sukkah midin chinuch because he no longer needs his mother. The Gemara in Maseches Sukkah describes what does it mean he no longer needs his mother. It means that if he wakes up in the middle of the night, he doesn't cry out Ima Ima. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Everybody who wakes up in the middle of the night cries out Ima. So he says. So the Gemara says, no. It means he doesn't cry out Ima Ima. If he screams it once and then he looks around, did anyone hear that? And it'll stop. He's not going to cry out again. But if he's a little child, so he's going to cry out Ima Ima, he'll cry incessantly for his mother. So that's how we define Tzarech Li'imo or not Tzarech Li'imo. So Kol Zman, that he's Tzarech Li'imo, he's Pater from Sukkah. That's the sheet of the Beis Hillel. But Beis Shammai holds, even a Katan at Tzarech Li'imo, you need to put him in a Sukkah. So the story was, Maisa V'yolda Kaloso Shel Shammai HaZakein. One time, the daughter-in-law of Shammai HaZakein had a child, had a baby, Upiche Sesama Aziva V'sike Chagabe Mita B'Shvil Katan. And they took off the roof and they put schach over it for the sake of the katan, in order that the katan should be betzel sukkah. So shemamina asu, don't you see that asu beishamai kedivrayim, the beishamai followed their own shita. So interesting over here, the marshal writes they thought that the infant, like a week old baby, a 2 week old baby, needed to be in a sukkah. So the marshal says no. It means she had a young family, so she's still having babies. So probably her older children, like 5 years old. So her 5 year old, she put in the sukkah. The 5 year old was still Tzarech Li'imo, and she put him in the sukkah. But the baby, it's pashut, doesn't need to be in the sukkah. That's what the Marshal writes. Pnei Yeshua understands that no, it means the katan shenola. That's why we're saying Maisa v'yolda kalaso. That's why we're telling you the story. Otherwise, of what relevance is it that she had a baby? So he says, how could it be that it's shayach chinuch by a katan ben yomel, says the Pnei Yeshua. So he says that since the chachamim were made an asmachta for the din of chinuch by a sukkah on the pasuk of kol l'rabos ha'saktanim, so Shammai holds that we're machmer by sukkah even by a katan ben yomo. And then he says that according to Shammai, the chiyuv of katan besukkah is not mishum chinuch, it's rather the chiyuv on the father to be with his children because of teishu kein taduru. And normally a family man lives together with his family. So if he's got to be in the sukkah, he's got to live in the sukkah the same way he lives in his house, which means together with his whole family. So it's not midin the chinuch of the child, it's midin the mitzvah of the father. And the Rashash just points out that the Pnei Yeshua is going like this and like this to try to figure out why a one-day-old baby needs to be in the sukkah. He says he missed the marshal. The marshal said that it wasn't about the one-day-old baby, it was about the other children. Tosus raises the question, and other Rishonim also raise the question, that Beis Shammai does not disagree that a katan, the Tzarech Li'imo, is not chayiv min hadin in Sukkah, he was just machmir al atzmo. So since it was only b'toras chumr b'alma, it wouldn't be a violation of agudos agudos, so therefore this shouldn't be a raya at all, that also Beis Shammai k'divrayim. So Tosus suggests that if Beis Shammai was not also k'divrayim, then they would not have been machmir on themselves in this case, because that would also be near a kishtei toros. The Ritva says that they were machmir min adin, that this wasn't just a chumra, that they felt this way min adin, and that's why the Gemara is bringing a raya that also be shamai kidevrayim. But anyway, so bottom line is the Gemara is bringing a raya from the fact that they put a child who's still tzarech li'imo in a sukkah, that it seems to be that the be shamai were asu kidevrayim. So answers the Gemara, not a raya. Hasam haroa omer lafushe avir ka'avid. That would not be a violation of the reason Beis Shammai would not be asu kedivrayim is because it would violate los haskodadu. It only violates los haskodadu if it looks like you're doing it for halachic reasons. But sometimes when it's a nice day outside and you take off the roof and you put some schach up, it's because you just want some fresh air. That doesn't make it so obvious that you're interested. We have that svara dafka by sukkah. They have such an idea that sometimes it just looks like you're interested in fresh air. That's how the poskim explain that. Even though the Gemara says that the halacha is that you have to sit in sukkah and shmini atzeres. In chutz laretz, how the Hasidic minhag developed not to sit in sukkah on shmini atzeres in chutz laretz, because Karban Sanal writes that why isn't it baltosif that it makes it look like you're being mevaza shmini atzeres by going and sitting in the sukkah? Because it's not being mevaza shmini atzeres, because it's a nice day, so people sometimes like to go outside, and you're not saying a bracha, so it's not so obvious that you're doing it l'shem mitzvah. Bruch elom mevrachina, and you're just yisuvi yisvina, you're just sitting in the sukkah. So that's what some explain, that the Hasidic minhag developed to not sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, because when you live in Poland and Russia and it's sukkah's time, it's freezing cold. No one in their right mind is going to think that you're going out there because you enjoy being in sub-zero temperatures, to have your meal when the hot food, the second you bring it out, turns cold. No one in their right mind, and you're sitting there in a fur coat. No one in their right mind is going to think that you're doing that because you enjoy it. And then it vaiter becomes a problem of being mevaza shmini atzeres. And that's maybe how the minhag developed. But in warmer climates, ein hachinami, maybe the minhag never would have developed that way. So anyway, so that's this svara of that Roa Omer, la fushe aviru David, that someone who sees it is just going to say, yeah, you probably just wanted a little more air, and that's why you went out. The Aruch Lener asked a more fundamental question. Who was this that it happened to? It was the colossal shell Shammai HaZaken. We're not talking about the Beis Shammai over here. The shaila that we have in our Gemara was whether the Beis Shammai were Asu K'divrayim. And what was the shaila about? Says the Aruch Lener, the reason for the sheet of Lo Asu K'divrayim is either because there was a bas kol that said that we shouldn't, or because Beis Hillel was the Rov. That was in a later generation. When we're dealing with Shammai HaZaken, the bas kol had not yet come out, and the Beis Hillel were not yet the Rove. It was still it was just Shammai and Hillel. So there was no Rove in the Beis Hillel. So neither reason is Shayach in that case. So how can we use this case as a raya? Of course Shammai HaZaken followed his own halachic positions. So the Aruch Lener suggests that Shammai should not have done so before Hesia, because it still would have been in violation of Los Eskod to do. And even though we said that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were like Shnei Batei Dinim, and you don't have a din of Los Eskod to do, that's only if you say Asu, but Leman Yom Lo Asu, he disagrees with them. So anyway, so that's how the Aruch Lener deals with this issue. So now, next Raya that the Gemara has. In order to understand the next Raya, important to know a little bit about mikvahs. Not so much, just a little bit, that a mikvah needs to have 40 sa'a in order to be kosher. A mikvah that doesn't have 40 sa'a, but is right up against, is right next to a mikvah that does have 40 sa'a. So if the water between the two mikvahs mix through a hole in the wall that separates them, then it will kosher even the mikvah that doesn't have the proper shear. Question is how big that hole in between the two mikvahs has to be. According to the Beis Shammai, rubo, most of the wall has to be open, has to be breached in order for the two mikvahs to connect to each other. According to Beis Hillel, big enough that you can stick two fingers into the hole and move them around really easily. That's a big enough hole to connect the two mikvahs. So now, Marzutra asks on those who hold that lo asu k'divrei Beis Shammai k'divreihem, that there is a mission in the fourth parak of Maseches Mikvahs. Maisa b'shokas Yehu. There was a story in the trough of Yehu, which is like a cleft in a rock where water gathered on a mountain. Shaisa b'Yerushalayim, that was in Yerushalayim, v'yisinu kuv l'mikvah. So it had like this base kibble that was built naturally into the mountain, but it was not 40 sa'a, but there was a hole in the side wall which went up led into a mikveh that did have 40 sa'a. The cult of Yerushalayim nasam al gaba, and everyone relied on this mikveh in Yerushalayim. It was always used. When Beis Shammai heard about this, they sent messengers to reconstruct it and to make sure to make a bigger breach in between the two walls, to widen the breach so it could satisfy the sheet of the Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai Omrim ad shetipaches beruba. Beis Shammai says it needs to be mostly breached, the wall in between this waterway and the mikveh. So says Mar Utanan, and we have a Mishnah that according to the Beis Hillel, Eruv mikvos kishoferes hanod, but if you're b'chalal that for Beis Hillel, you don't need to have the wall mostly breached. You just need to be able to stick two fingers in and move your fingers around easily, and that's enough of a hole in between the two mikvahs. So says Mar Shmamina Asu, from the fact that Beis Shammai sent messengers to go and breach the whole thing and open it up, so you see that Asu Beis Shammai Kidavrayim, that Beis Shammai in fact followed their Shita. Tosov here raises the problem that in the 8th parak of Maseches Taros it says that Mashke Tofeach is Tofeach al-Menas Lat Tapiach is enough to create a chibur l'tahara, that you don't need a big gush of water that connects the two. You just need enough moisture that if you were to touch it, you can then wet something else with your fingers that touch that moisture. Sounds like you don't even need two fingers worth. So how come? So which is it? Do we assume like the sheet of the Beis Shammai of the Beis Hillel over here that you need two fingers worth, or do you not even need that? So that's what Tosfos raises the question. Tosfos quotes from Rabbeinu Tam that if the hole has a shear of shofaris anod, you don't need that whole hole to fill with water. You only need the amount of water that's tofeach hamanasat piach. But the size of the hole has to be kishofaris anod, has to be big enough that you stick the two fingers in. That if it were to fill with water, right, that it has the capacity to fill with water, but the actual amount of moisture that you need between them is only tofeach hamanas lahat piach. The Ri says differently. He says the shear of shofar sanod is b'mayim and not b'nekev, and not only b'nekev. You actually need that much water in between. The shear of, but that's only as far as eruv mikvaos, that if you have such a hole in between a mikvah that's chaser and a mikvah that's shalem, so then it's considered to be one big mikvah. The din of tofeach hamanasat piach is only as far as hashaka is concerned, that if you have mayim tameim and you want to be metaher your mayim tameim, you want to dip your mayim tameim in a mikvah, so as long as tofeach hamanasat piach connecting it to a mikvah, that's enough to be metaher your mayim tameim. So anyway, the Gemara answers, no, this is not a raya. Anyone who sees Beis Shammai broadening the wall is just going to assume that Beis Shammai was just trying to make it that more water should be accessible and not because of some hakpada in dine mekvaos. Next raya. When I was learning Torah by Rabbi Yochanan Achronani, I saw he was eating coarse bread and salt during years of famine. So I told my father about this nebuch, what he has to eat. He said, go bring him olives. And I did. He saw that the olives were moist. He said, I'm not going to eat these olives because they're moist. It means that they're hukshal lekabel tuma. If they're hukshal lekabel tuma, I'm cheshish na ma'aretz, touch them. And therefore, I'm not going to eat these olives. So basi vodati asaba, I went back and I told my dad. So Amrli, Saba said, go tell him that the barrel that they were brought in had holes in the bottom so that the liquid can drain, which shows that was never nichalei that these olives should get wet, that the moel that comes out of these olives, the moisture that comes out of these olives should moisten them. If it was never nichalei, then it's not ukshul kabel tuma. Elish smu shemarim. It's just that the shemarim closed up the holes. So utanan, and we have a mishnah that tells us masech seidios chavish al zaysim megulgalim. If you have a barrel of olives that are pressed together, beishami or ein shrich lenakev. Beishami says you don't need to make a hole in the barrel. It's not going to be makshul the kabel tuma anyway, because the natural juices that come out of an olives when they're pressed together are not going to be makshur anyway. Beisil says yes, they are makshur the kabel tuma, and therefore you need to make a hole in the barrel to show that you're not interested in that liquid that comes out of the olives. Umodim, but Beisil is moda she'im nikva, that if you made a hole in the chavis ustamu shemarim, and then the hole inadvertently got closed up, she'i tohra, that it's still going to be tahora. So afal pisha talmud shamay haya. So Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik says, even though Rabbi Yochanan Charani was the Talmud of the Shita of the Beis Shammai, Kol Masav Lo Asa L'Kedivr Beis Hillel, he still was being machmir for the Shita of the Beis Hillel, even when he was starving. Well, look what a tzaddik the man was, what a parosh he was. He was starving, he had nothing to eat, and he was the Talmud of the Beis Shammai, and he was still being machmir for the Shita of the Beis Hillel to be choshesh that these olives were tamei. So Yom B'Shlama Asu Hain Rabusei, if Beis Shammai in general followed their opinions, so then it's a chiddush that he's going to be choshesh for Shita of Beis Hillel. Eliyam Loasu, but Beis Shammai in general always followed the Shita of the Beis Hillel. So my Rabu say, what's the Chiddush that he followed the Shita of the Beis Hillel? All of Beis Shammai followed the Shita of the Beis Hillel. So that seems to be a Raya. So now the Gemara says, Tashma, I'll bring you another Raya. The Gemara never answered that Raya. The Gemara never rejected that Raya. Another Raya. Shalas Rabbi Yeshua, Tzara Sabas Mahu. What's the din about a Tzara of an Erva doing Yibum? Our actual case. So Amalem Machlux Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. That's Machlux Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Halacha G'divrei Mi, how do we paskin? Amalem Neimah Temach Nisan Roshi Bein Shnei Harim Gedolim. Why are you putting my head in between these two big mountains? Bein Shnei Machlokas Gedolos. Between these two big Machlokas Bein Beisham Bein Mesilal Misyari Ani Shami Yerutzu Gulgalti. I'm afraid my skull is going to get crushed if I put my head in between these two giants. Avalani Meir Lechem Al Shnei Mishpachas Gedolos Shalim Yerushalayim. But let me tell you about two families in Yerushalayim. Mishpachas Beis Svom Mi Ben Achmayim. Mishpachas Beis Kofayim Mi Ben Mekoshesh Shehem B'nei Tzaros. They are actually the offspring of Tzaros, of Arayos, who actually got married B'shuk without Chalitza, who followed the sheet of the Beis Hillel, and when it got remarried, Umehem Kohanim Gadol Meshim Shal Gabi Mizbech. And that family is producing Kohanim Gadol and then Meshim Shal Gabi Mizbech. So I don't want to say anything. All I know is those who are following the sheet of the Beis Hillel are becoming Kohanim Gadolim. So Iyan Mepishlama Asu, if you can say that Beshami were Asu Kedivraim, Hainu Dekam Rasyari, and I understand why he was afraid to get involved. Eliyam Lo Asu, but if you say they didn't follow, so I might come from Rasyari, and what was he afraid of? So Nina Midasu, even if they followed their own Shitos, my Rasyari, and still what's he afraid of? Hamer Bishua in Mamzer Elechev Mispazdin. It still wouldn't be an issue of Mamzerus, because all the Beshami says that they need even Chalitza, and Yavam Lashuk is only a Losase. So it says more Nina Midamamzer Lo Avi, granted, it wouldn't be an issue of Mamzerus, but Pagumi Ahavi would still be a problem of being Pagum Lakuna, Mikal V'Chomer Me'almana, based on the Kal V'Chomer that we started today's daf with. Ma Almana Shein Isur Noig B'Kol, an Almana, where it's a very limited Isur, and B'na Pagum, the offspring is going to be Pagum Lakuna, and when an Almana marries a Kohen Gadol, so Zu, when you have a woman who's Asur B'Isur Kares, She Isur Shav B'Kol, where it's an Isur for Yisraelim and Kohanim, for everybody, for sure the child is going to be Pagum if she goes and marries L'Shuk. So Kabo Minei, the Gemara says, Tzaros, V'Kapashal Le'Bnei Tzaros. The Shaila was, can the Tzaros Erva get married? And he started responding to him about what happened to the B'nai Tzaros. So says Gemara, Tartik Kabo Minei. He was asking him two questions. Tzaros Mai, can the Tzaros Erva and themselves get married? L'Shuk and Imtim Tzalom with Tzaros K'Beis Hillel. And if you can tell them like Beis Hillel that they can, B'nai Tzaros to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai Mahu. How would the Beis Shammai look at the B'nai Tzaros according to the Beis Hillel? L'may Nafkamina, L'mifshad V'lan Machzir Grushaso, L'Beis Hillel. And the reason that matters la halacha is because I want to know how Beis Hillel would look at the child of a machzir grushaso la achar shenises. However, Beis Shammai is going to look at Beis Hillel's yivam l'shuk. Beis Hillel is going to look at a vlad machzir grushaso mishenises. Mikar minu kal v'chomer ma aman l'koyin gadol sheni sur shav b'kol b'na pagum zu she sur shav b'kol eno din shav b'na pagum al dilma ikal mifrach ma la almana she atzma mischaleles. So those are the two tzadim of that shaila. So amar lehu, they responded, Rabbi Shur responded, Tzaros, the Tzaros of the Arayos, whether their mutter be Yibum or not, Misyari Ani, I'm afraid to be Mechriya the Halacha like the Beis Hillel that Asers, because then I'm afraid that the children of those Tzaros from the Beis Shammai who did the Yibum are going to have my head for that. But B'nai Tzaros Ani Me'el Lechem. But B'nai Tzaros, I'll tell you, they're becoming Kohanim Gedolim. Okay, Beis Shammai, we'll pick up at the last Vayetas of Amar Aleph tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you, Zant Kol Tov.